90210ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of 90210MG. It's me, Jenny Garth. I'm here with my bestie, Tori Spelling, and Sissy.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Hi, ladies. Hey. What a show we have today, you guys. Oh, I'm really, really excited, to talk about this episode from this week, and B, we have a super special guest. And before we get to that, let's talk about the exciting thing that's going to come up soon.
We have our next live event, you guys.
Whoop, whoop.
You know, we've been talking, we're almost done with season one, and it's crazy. And we feel like we should celebrate. We should have a wrap party, because that's what you do when you finish a season of a show. So we're going to just bring it into the podcast world, and we're going to have a season one wrap party, and we're going to do it live on April 26th at 5 p.m.
That's 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which will be 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tickets are available at onlocationlive.com/90210.
Mm-hmm. And there will be meet and greets, surprise guests. They're a surprise to even us. I have no idea who it's going to be yet.
Me neither. I'm so excited.
There are going to be games and fun and probably some technical difficulties, and it'll just be a lot of fun.
We like games. So please join us, you guys. Tickets are on sale right now. Don't forget to get your merch. You can buy that at myfanthreads.com/90210OMG. Oh my gosh, you guys, I got the Donna Kelly t-shirt. Did you get
yours? You got it?
No, I didn't. Oh my God, it's so cute. It's so cute.
Maybe we should wear those to our wrap party.
We have to.
Maybe we could bedazzle them or something.
Perfect.
Yeah.
They're so good. The cut's good. It's super soft. I'm obsessed with it. Yeah.
Well, that's
really
exciting.
Good. We just have to add and sis. Donna and Kelly and sis.
I told you guys before, today we have a very, very special guest joining us. The one and only Darren Starr is going to be coming on in a little bit to talk to us about the origination of Beverly Hills 90210. He is the creator of our show. And I don't know, I kind of feel like God is coming.
Like, yeah, you know, seriously.
I'm nervous. I'm nervous to talk to him.
Yeah, he's our creator. He's the big boss. Yeah. And honcho. Oh my gosh, without him, this show would not exist. And of course, you know, he went on to do Melrose Place, created that, and Sex and the City, and Younger, and now Emily in Paris. He is a god amongst gods, and we are super psyched he's coming on to be with us today. We haven't seen him in so long.
How long has it been? It's going to be so fun. Oof.
Years?
Decades? Years. I saw him on a pod. Did you see him on your podcast? I saw him on a podcast.
Okay, that doesn't count.
Yeah. I saw him on the computer. It doesn't count, right? That's not seeing him.
Jen, do we look okay? I'm nervous.
Wait, were you guys nervous around him? Like, what is he to you? Like, do you feel like you owe him your career? Like, what are those feelings that you have?
I don't know. I feel like, yeah, there's some of that. Like, he was such he was the reason why this show came to life. You know, he created these characters and he created everything about it. So, you know, him and Aaron together worked together to make this what it is. And it's like your boss. I can't even explain it any other way.
I was always I know you had like a really good relationship with him, and you went on to do another show with him afterwards. Like, I was always really shy around him. So I'm nervous to talk to him today, because I always felt, and I'm still feeling it, like, you know, he created the show, but he worked with my dad. And I always felt like, oh, did he feel like he had to cast me? He had to write for me. I mean, he gave me some of my best comedy. I mean, he started off my comedy in Spring Dance, which he also, not only did he create the show, but he wrote this episode, he directed it, and he gave Donna kind of her first like big dance stuff with the spring, you know, dress. Mm-hmm. So I'm very grateful for him doing that. But I don't know. I just always felt like he was like, oh my God.
Well, didn't you suggest some people to cast for 90210?
I did.
I feel like if he didn't want to cast you, he would have had it. You know what I mean? Like, you had a big part of all of this.
I'm sure his hand, you know, he had to, like, as we've talked about and we've seen, I had like a couple lines here and there in the first few episodes. And it's just now kind of getting a little bit bigger, my role. But you know how you feel that way. It's your boss. I wanted to please him. I wanted him to say like, okay, I know why I had to cast her, but I wanted to him to be proud of me and approve of me. And you know, it's like a parent type of thing.
Mm-hmm. I think he is proud of you. Yeah, I think he's proud of all of us. And I love it that you can tell he's still really proud of Beverly Hills 90210. You know, he's gone on to do such huge things like Sex in the City. And he's still like, this show, just like for us, it has this amazing little part of our hearts that can never be taken away. And I feel that from him too, mm-hmm. like that connection. So we're really looking forward to talking to him. So, but first, should we talk about episode 21, Spring Dance, you guys? Okay. Episode 21, Spring Dance, air date was May 2nd, 1991.
The synopsis is, it's the big spring dance and the chance of romance is good for Dylan and Brenda, possible for Kelly and Brandon, and nil.
What? Huh?
Sorry. Nil.
And nil. Zip. Zero. Zero. For Steve, who carries a torch that's about as cumbersome as his date's dress. That's me.
That'd be you. This episode was actually written by Darren Star and directed by Darren Star. This was his first directing job ever.
Wow. Yeah. Big undertaking for your first job directing. Like, it was like a huge, like, so many casts, so many background players. We had a band. Who was the
this
band,
was a
you guys?
Huge, huge, huge
the
episode.
Rave Ups.
The Rave Ups was the band at the dance. They were rad. I kind of had a crush on that lead singer guy.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. Remember? She loves musicians.
I can't help it. I don't know.
She used to love musicians. Now she loves golfers.
You know, I didn't realize that he directed this until we got our notes. And now it really makes sense because I was just, this is my favorite episode so far. Like, you could tell the difference.
Really, so good.
That's like, yeah. We were saying, didn't it feel like it felt like a big movie, like a '90s rom com, like maybe like a 16 Candles-ish. Yeah, exactly. A John Hughes film. That's what it felt like to me too.
It really did.
Totally. Especially your dancing at the dance. It was so good.
I thought it was really good, too.
I was crushing on her. Like,
my dance. That's not good dancing, you guys.
Yeah, you were swinging your hair. Oh, my God. Yeah, I had all the feels of like, oh, that's the popular girl I want to be like 30 years God, ago. Not now. That would be weird. But you know what I mean.
That, I pulled it off. Thank goodness.
You did.
Yeah, this episode, so much happened. It was a hugely memorable episode for all the fans, I think. And it was one of the episodes that was kind of like a defining moment, defining episode for the show moving forward. And I felt like it just defined what the group was all about. Like, what, you know, everybody had their things, but we all came together. And I don't know, just it worked for me just like a little puzzle.
Yeah, they were definitely an ensemble by the end, by this episode. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, this is the gang that we're going to now go forward with for the next 10 years. Yeah.
So why don't we break it down from the beginning? Because I love to do that.
So much.
Got to start at the top and I got to go all the way through for all my OMG moments. First of all, first thing that comes to mind is the glasses that the guys were wearing in the hallway when they saw the hot girls. First of all, Steve's so horny. He's got like, does spring bring that on a teen boy? It makes him especially randy.
Uh-huh. Nature's doing its thing. It's turning me into a total dog.
Ew. I don't know. Ew. I just don't want to. Ugh. I don't want to think about that.
But it was kind of the theme of the episode, because obviously we know what happens with Dylan and Brenda. Yeah,
love is in the air, spring. But speaking of the glasses, so they were looking at Darla Diller, mm-hmm. who is played by Sharon Case, who we had 2 episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
She was so hot in this.
Like, I know. She was like that unattainable, beautiful girl at the
school.
She's
still hot.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, she is.
But that I was happy to see that because I didn't know when – I didn't know when she came back for the second episode as Darla Diller what that was going to be like, but she did Darla right.
Yeah, she did. I don't do vets. Sorry, I don't do vets. Mm-hmm. Loved it. That's like the soul crushing for Steve Sanders to hear something like that. That probably hurt and worse he's like, than anything.
Oh, it's okay. I'll rent a Ferrari or some. He was like
a Jag,
and he goes a minivan.
You know the I in at it, that right?
Yeah, yeah,
totally.
Such an ad lib for sure.
The thing that took me, I mean, just hearing Brian's voice when he's announcing the queens that are
the princesses. Yeah, for
princesses, sorry. Mm-hmm. Right. His voice seemed even higher than other episodes. I was like, oh my gosh. And you could hear everyone laughing in the hallways.
Oh, well, David. Well, he had some great stuff in this episode too, but yeah, the whole nominations for the spring princess or whatever. Mm-hmm. Kelly got very excited when she got nominated. I threw my notebook. Like, that's how excited
yeah,
I was.
You did throw it.
when I was watching, I was like, "Ugh, geez, it's a little
much." But I liked that Donna and Brenda were supportive. I noticed that right away. There was really kind of no jealousy of you being nominated per se till the dress part.
That was good. Yeah.
Take us to the Rodeo collection. Oh my gosh. Did they even call it that now? That is a actual place in Beverly
store?
Hills.
Yeah.
On Rodeo. And you would go in and they'd have many different stores. Mm-hmm. It was kind of Beverly Hills version of a
mall.
A mini mall, or what do you call them?
Outdoor mall. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's still there.
It's still there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they call it Rodeo Collection now, but it's definitely still there.
Rodeo Collection on Rodeo Drive, open Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
There you go, people. Come on in. Let's do it. Go shopping.
Okay, wait. I got to tell you something, which I never realized. Uh-oh. I just recently, I'm going to talk about the white black bow dress that Brenda and Kelly end up both wearing. But did you know this fun fact? I recently rewatched Mystic Pizza, and Julia Roberts in that movie, do you know what I'm talking about?
Is wearing that dress.
She's wearing that dress. And that's a movie from the 80s, I believe, or was it early 90s? She comes down, she goes and she buys a dress, leaves the tag on so she can return it to go out on her date. She comes down the stairs wearing it. So not only is that dress iconic on you and Shannon, but Julia Roberts as well.
Released in 1988. So 3 years before it was on Rodeo's collection.
You are a mathematician. That's good. 3 years.
Maybe that's why it was on sale when you guys bought it. Because Julia Roberts returned it.
Actually, good fact checking from the writers there.
No, but that dress has been, I just, that's a moment that will never be forgotten, I think, by me for sure, and a lot of the fans, because that when they show up in the same dress, and I love that Brenda sort of makes it her own with her gloves and her pearls. And I just thought, and their hair, everything about it, like, was prom-esque. But it wasn't the prom, it was just a dance.
It felt like prom, though.
It seemed like prom.
Mm-hmm.
Vegetable corsage, hello.
The radish. Why?
Can you tell us more about that?
What the heck was the boutonniere thing that Kelly gave Brandon? Why? You guys, who? She was like, ooh, vegetable corsages are really in. What?
But in fact, where? It's a boutonniere, and she did say corsage. Corsage is what goes on the wrist.
Oh, right. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
But vegetable corsages are very hip. Was that like a thing? Maybe they were like, we were setting trends. So they were like, okay, let's see if people actually pick up. And
apparently that was one that didn't take off.
I actually thought it was kind of cute, but very strange.
You know what? I can remember putting that on him. And I can remember filming with that stupid bunch of vegetables on his jacket. And we had to have so many because it just kept wilting. Like, it was they had like parsley behind it, and then like three radishes clumped together, and the whole thing just kept going bloop. Vegetables don't want to be worn on clothes, so
it's kind of chic. It's very farm to tux. I like it. I'm into it. Let's bring it back,
farm to tux.
So that scene when Kelly arrives at Brandon's house to give him, you know, she's putting the boutonniere on him. And then you guys kiss. I screamed. Like,
Kelly just went like, no, he had no choice in the matter.
Yeah. It literally made me scream. I was like,
well, what about when they made out on the dance
even later? Yes.
Oh, we're not even there yet. I'm sorry. Feels about that.
I don't want to.
But he got
going.
Very handsy with you at the Walsh house. Like, that was very Jason.
That was very
not
Jason
Brandon.
And Jenny. Yeah.
Like, he had his arms around you, like, very comfortable. It was like,
very
whoa, whoa,
familiar.
She just asked you out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was funny when Brenda said, I'm already giving you all my favorite lines, sorry. But Brenda says, Kelly says, Brenda, I'm a spring princess. And Brenda says, Kelly, I don't give a damn.
Like, who talks like that? Frankly, Kelly, I don't give a damn.
So good.
Oh my God. Brenda's cheeks were on point. Like her cheekbones. Oh, gorgeous. Youth. God,
youth.
So good.
Yep.
We all appreciated what we had back then.
So then
my dress?
Oh, you come in the door and there's the dress. There's the OG red dress that we actually made a copy of, right? For BH90210. And I was like, there it is. There's the dress.
There it is. I wonder where that came from. Like, was that in the script or we should ask Darren about the dress.
Okay.
Like, I wonder where that inspiration, like, she can't fit into a dress. Like, it's too big. I mean, it was a dress.
Like,
it was
like a Gone with the Wind situation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But your character was really funny this episode.
Mm-hmm. I finally got to do comedy. I was like, yes. Okay. This was like Donna's big moment of like doing physical comedy. And I couldn't have been happier to be given that. Writing.
Yeah. I mean, it was weird that you were going with Steve, but I just really thoroughly enjoyed all of the points when you were like, I can't. And then you're like, can't quite get the dress to sit down. You're not like comfortable. It's so cute. You have a little face.
I remember filming that in the limo and I was just in my head still like, you know me, like very like, oh, I hope it's not too much. I hope they're not like, oh, this girl, what's she doing again? Like making all these movements, still questioning myself. But on the outside, acting like, no, I'm funny. Like, whatever, I got this. But, like, shitting myself inside. You know? Wait. And, Kelly stuck up for Donna right before Steve's like, I hope she knows it's platonic. And you're like, oh, you wish.
As if, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sticking
in
up
your
for
dreams.
Me. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, uh-huh. Why was Steve so like, ew, Donna?
Ew,
like,
right?
Screw him.
He's such
the
a
whole
jerk.
Episode.
He was a
He's
jerk
a
date.
Jerk in this episode.
Ever.
So but he had reasons. He had a lot of reasons to be jerky.
Yeah. His confession about being adopted.
Yeah, Steve's adopted. What? Like that came out of nowhere.
Okay, can I go back to one more thing before that part?
Okay.
I don't even know how to say this because it's so un-PC. Mm. But when we're all in the house and we're taking the lineup photo of all of us, like our prom-ish dates, mm-hmm. I think it's Brandon. Is it okay to repeat something if it's a line that's not PC, though, to say?
Yeah, it's in the show. You got to say
it. It's your podcast.
I don't want to be the one to say it, but it's like we
Brandon
all line
said
up
this
and
to everybody.
No one can fit around the dress. And Brandon says, I think, was it Brandon or was it Steve that said it? I think she's hiding an army of midgets under there.
No one said that.
Yes, it was said. You know what? It was said.
Who said that? Because you know that was not written. That was an ad lib.
But they kept it. It was totally an ad lib. Do you know who said it? I couldn't hear whose voice it was. I was just so shocked when I watched it.
No. Yeah.
Sounds like a Steve line, but I feel like Jason's
I feel
shit.
Like it was Brandon.
So they go to the dance. Mm-hmm. They go to the dance. And all Dylan wants to go do is get Brenda up in that bedroom to get freaky. And he's like, I love you. When he said, I love you, Brenda. Maybe he said, I love you, Brenda, back at the house. I don't remember.
No, it was at right when they get there. I think he's like, don't you know? I love you.
I love you.
Bren, you're not just another notch on my belt.
Yeah, I didn't feel it. Sorry.
Not just another notch on my belt. Like, who says that? And she's
did you guys feel the love?
I did
you
feel felt it. I know. But I mean, I was a sucker for Dylan from the very beginning. So.
Yeah, but I feel like you are a diehard Brenda and Dylan fan. I can feel it.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just from the very beginning.
That's okay.
I don't want to give it away for the people that haven't seen it yet, but you know. It gets dicey later.
It does. Okay. Now we can go to your kiss with Brandon.
No, not yet. Nope. We have to talk about when he said, when she says, "I'm nervous, I'm going to disappoint you," and then Dylan says something like, "Don't worry, we're going to be just two people up in the room enjoying each other." And I was like, "Ew, enjoying each other? Like, what's that? I don't know."
Oh, yeah, there'll be no judgments or something, just enjoying or something.
Am I the only one that was into this? Yes. I was so into it. I was like, yes, I believe everything you say. Let's go upstairs.
It got better. I don't remember it that way. Like, I feel like I was way into it when I watched it when I was young. And now watching it, I don't know. I wasn't that.
I got more into it once they got into the room. Into, like, I was like, okay, chemistry. It feels better.
The idea of their chemistry was more than, like, some of the lines he was saying didn't feel like the Dylan I know.
Why are you guys such haters on this?
We're not haters. The name of this podcast is OMG, and these are just OMG moments for us.
I think portrayed the fantasy that every high school girl has if they're in a relationship and they haven't done it yet. That's how they envision losing their virginity. Like I lost my virginity at homecoming after the dance. It was at someone's house, not a hotel, but it was almost just to have that perfect, I don't know. It's just the dance really justified it for me.
I feel so much closer to you now that I know where you lost your virginity. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. But I think it was a big issue for the network at the time to show a 16-something-year-old losing her virginity.
I think they got a lot of heat after this episode aired. Yeah. I mean, they had to have.
Yeah. Even though it didn't show much, but
it didn't show anything. But at the time, like, underage sex was not something you really saw on TV, right?
No.
Okay. But yeah, look, do you have something to say about the kiss of Kelly and Brandon? Because
hell yeah, I do. It was your first experience of him eating your face.
That was the first kiss of Kelly and Brandon.
I know.
Yeah,
you're right. I was there for it.
It looked like a good kiss. I'm not going to lie. I was into it.
Me too. I was really into it. Sorry. It was juicy. I was more into watching that juicy kiss than Brenda and Dylan. Sorry. It just looked like there was just so much chemistry.
I enjoyed it too.
Except then the whole rest of the scene. I enjoyed it too.
Really did.
Or maybe then the whole rest of the scene. I love that it wasn't TV. Like, it was real life. Like, your lipstick was totally gone. You can tell you've been mashing face. And I was like, oh, I love that, because sometimes they glossified in TV and they would cut back and you'd have perfect lipstick and perfect powder. And you weren't. You were like,
I noticed
you had
that
been
too.
Going at it. I liked it.
How many takes did you guys do with that scene at the dance?
Oh, my God.
Who knows? I mean, geez, I don't remember. But I know it was a good kiss.
I mean, enough for your lipstick to come off.
Not just her lipstick, sis. It was like around here. It was like her nose, her cheeks, her
chin. That's just what happens when you make out on camera, usually.
And then, yeah.
Because you're wearing a lot of makeup, right, for TV. And then you do a kissing scene like that and it gets everywhere. And also, usually a guy has like stubble. Like beard stubble, and it makes your face all red and rashy. It's not pretty. It's not fun. The actual technical aspect of it.
It was good.
Yeah.
And then he said you were like another sister.
Mm. Ooh.
I don't think he'll think that in seasons to come.
Right. What did she say? Can't you fake amnesia or something?
Yeah.
Aw, poor Kelly. I like it that she got denied a little bit, though. It made her more human to me.
I think so, too, and relatable to a lot of people, because I think, when a boy doesn't like you back, you want to try to convince them to, and it's just not the move.
I like that you said, ouch. That's the ugliest thing anyone has ever said to me.
Ugliest.
Ugliest.
I love this episode so much.
It was such a good episode, you guys. And my favorite part, though, I loved the whole dance and the band and just like all the extras and the background atmosphere, people and just everything. But my favorite part was the very end when the camera pulls back and the group is dancing together. It gave me all like the warm and fuzzy feels of how how amazing that moment actually was in real life to be standing there with that guy, with those people. And I sat there watching it last night by myself, and it shook me up quite a bit, because it was just one of those moments where I really remember standing right next to Luke, and just that connection was so strong at that point. And it was just such a moment for me. And I was like, oh, I miss him.
No, that was an amazing scene. That's, mm-hmm. I'm sure the whole group, there's scenes we don't remember filming. Like, I feel like that's one of those scenes that we each remember and will always remember. Because everyone, we were each other's best friends. Like that, you know, it wasn't what you just saw on camera. It was real in real life. And that was so huge.
Yeah.
And it had been a whole season already. So your relationships just probably continued to build.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. At that point, for sure. It was just also, that's the big, you know, everybody. What does that always happen at a dance, a school dance, when like a group of people just kind of dances together and takes over the whole dance floor?
I don't know.
I loved it.
Yeah, it made me feel like it. All those movies that we love. Like,
I don't know. I feel like that just happens in the movies.
And I loved Ian in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
We really, like Steve Sanders, you saw a softer side to him. I thought he was so great in the scene with Jason when they're in the hallway in the kitchen. The lighting on Jason was so magical. When he found out Ian was adopted, and it was just such a nice moment. I feel like he played it so well. This episode really had a balance of emotion and comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was all working. Like,
yeah, Andrea, it really humanized all the characters, too. Like, it just made them so much more relatable, each of them. Andrea, David with his dancing.
10 out of 10.
With the comedy of the skirt, and like just the being the date of Steve, and not really, I don't know, it just felt.
Andrea's the chainsaw. That was hilarious.
What about, what about when she's watching it at, and she doesn't she live with her grandma? Isn't that the whole thing? Andrea lives with her grandma.
I was going to ask you, because then she's like, Mom, can I borrow an evening gown?
And, well, yeah, Mom, first of all, but then evening gown, second of all.
She said your evening gown. Like, there's only one.
Has an evening gown up in the closet there. And it magically fits her perfectly with ginormous puff sleeves.
That was the style, though. Those puffy sleeves in 91. That was it.
They were large, like, and in charge, those sleeves. It fit her like a glove.
Well, ladies, Darren Starr is in the waiting room.
It's happening?
It's happening. But we should take a break.
Okay, everybody, stay tuned.
The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Hello, handsome.
Hello. God, you guys are gorgeous.
Why do you get more and more handsome as you... I mean, geez, with the grayness?
Oh, well, you know,
because he's a boy and... Boys get more handsome with age, and us women just...
You guys look amazing. You look amazing.
We're so excited to talk to you.
I know, me too. I saw you both for a second on that 90210 thing we did a while ago. I just got to see both of you.
I didn't have my glasses on. I couldn't see you. Sorry.
I loved the show you did with Chesler and Alberghini.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
I thought it was so good. And you guys were so good in it. I mean, everybody was. It was like a blast.
We had a great time doing it. It was certainly a challenge. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Didn't look like it. Didn't look like a challenge. It looked fun.
We'll get together and tell you the stories.
But I heard. But what I couldn't believe is that it was shot in Canada. That I mean, I don't know how you pulled that
off.
We
couldn't believe it either.
It looks so real.
Really?
Minus the beach scenes. No beach scenes.
But no, I don't know. Beverly Hills stuff looked pretty good. It really all felt like you would never know. That was crazy when they told me that it was shot there.
Remember that day, Jen? They were like carting in like plants and palm trees.
Yeah.
It's Beverly Hills. We were like, oof, okay.
But it was everybody. I thought the cast looked amazing. These all looked so good.
It was so fun to be back together with everyone. Yeah. And we completely all regressed to our younger selves within moments. Yeah. It was crazy.
like a high school reunion.
Old behaviors come bubbling right back up.
Everything.
It was fun.
Right. I'm sure. I can only imagine. But I thought you nailed it. I thought you nailed it.
So thank you. That means a lot to us.
Thank you. Yes. I just have to tell you, I watch it with my kids. Emily in Paris is so amazing. We love it.
Thank you, Tori.
Huge fan.
Thank you so much. Huge fan. Thank you.
It's so fun to watch. So it really is. Too.
Remember your Paris episode?
Yes, it made me think of that.
What did you have to eat when you went to Paris? Brains?
Brains.
It wasn't brains. Yeah.
I love a good brain.
Yeah.
You're all of your, you know, you've created some of the most iconic, most colorful, like, I don't know, the shows that you make just sort of transport you to like another time where things are just better and easier, like, and fantastic, you know? I love that about your shows.
Thank you. Well, starting with the one we all did together. I mean,
that was the OG.
That was
your first show,
that was
right?
My first show. With, I mean,
it's unbelievable.
I don't know if you even know the story. That
no, tell us the story. Can't remember exactly how it
you
all
were
happened.
So young, Tori. You were so young. You were like 15, I think, at the time.
Did you hear that, Jen?
I'd written a number of teenage oriented movies. A producer that I written a film for when I was in my 20s went to Fox to start. Worked in drama, this guy Paul Stupin, and they were developing with Aaron a show based on Beverly Hills High for a writer. And he thought of me, and I met Dad at the old house.
Yeah.
And we just clicked. And he saw some film, this awful movie that I made called Doing Time on Planet Earth, and he liked it, that was terrible. And he's like, great, do it. And I just wrote the pilot, and then I don't know, at the beginning it was just like me and him. There was like, it was so like, it was so fun, and I don't know, it was just like one of those things where I thought, this is so great. Does anybody realize how good this show is? We made the pilot, and I was like, this is amazing. And Fox was kind of like, well, we don't know. And then it tested through the roof, the pilot.
Really? It tested
through the roof, because they didn't teenagers could be actually successful. And I think Tori recommended some actors. I remember that. We had not cast Jason's role until the very last minute. And I think you mentioned Shannon, you mentioned Jason, you knew all these actors.
I was such a TV fan. Shannon I knew from Our House and Heather's.
Well, you didn't,
and Jason
you
from
didn't
My Sister
recommend
Kate.
Me?
And you came in to read, okay, Jenny, you came in to read, I was so green that you did this audition, and during the audition, like, it was scripted that you waved and said hello to people, and I thought you were waving at me, and I said hello back, and I'm like, oh, she's in the character, she's doing the role.
Oh, my God, you must have been wigging out, like, to be making this show with Aaron Spelling and, like, testing through the roof, like, I would have been freaking out if I was you. Like, with happiness.
I have to say, he made it, he was not intimidating. He made it really fun. He really was. Your dad was just so, he was very creative. So it felt like working with somebody like creative and another writer, not like, a big executive. And he was, what I loved is he was always so nervous about everything. And I would say to him, why are you nervous? Going to the studio and pitching things. I'm like, what are you nervous about? Where is Spelling? Why are you nervous?
He would be like, I have spilkus.
Yeah, what are you worried? Yeah, exactly. He would still get nervous, and I would be like, I can't believe you're getting nervous about anything.
So where did the title come from? So it originally it was Class of Beverly Hills.
That was the title. And then Barry Diller had this idea to call it Bales 90210, which I thought was the worst title I ever heard of. I thought, that's horrible. You know, what does it mean? It's a zip code. Like, and he was smart, because I thought, like, to me it was a show about high school, and he's like, no, it's more than that. And I just thought, okay, Liner 2-0.
That's the beauty of collaborating, right? Because you don't have all the answers. Nobody has all the right answers. And it's so great when a group of people come together and make a show, especially like this, where, I don't know, everybody just kind of chimed in and helped out, and it made it so wonderful.
I have a question Did Shannon and Jason do a chemistry read together?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Jason read with Shannon. It wasn't actually a chemistry, but it was like from the first time right. Jason read, Shannon was already cast and she read with him. And afterwards he walked out and she was like, yeah. Like, she was like, I like him.
Was there anyone else up for the role of Brandon that we would know of?
I don't know. There were, I just remember there were a couple actors that I don't remember the names. Nobody that went on to big like stardom or anything that we looked at, but nobody like really clicked. And really the role wasn't cast until the very last moment.
He was the last role cast in the pilot?
Yes, he was on another show that was getting canceled. And I get, when that show kind of like, let us know that we're gonna cast that show, he was suddenly available.
Was that Sister Kate?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah, it's trivia. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you directed the first step. No, you no, directed. No, no.
I directed
this episode we're talking about today.
Right.
I directed the spring dance episode yeah. mm-hmm. of the first season.
Yeah, that's the episode that we're rewatching today and talking about.
Okay, great.
So we're seeing all your masterful directing in action.
That was the first thing I directed.
Was it? Were you excited? Were you nervous? Like, that's a big step.
I think I was definitely more nervous than anything else. It's not, you know, like one of those things where you watch someone else do it, but until you're doing it, you don't know when you're really to do it.
Until you call that first action.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you guys
directed? That was a big episode for your directorial debut. It was huge.
A lot happened in that episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stylistically, it was so beautiful, though.
Yeah, that it felt like a John Hughes film, kind of. Oh. Like, I felt like I was watching a 90s rom-com, I love you that. Know?
Well, that was, like, the whole idea behind 90210 for me was that there had been these great John Hughes movies, but no one had done it for television in quite that John Hughes way. I felt like 90210 captured that for TV.
Yeah.
He's got chills. I love that.
It's so true, though. So, back to the original onset of the show, you said before that your sister was the sort of muse inspiration for Brenda. Yeah,
I would just think of when I wrote Brenda, I would just think of my sister.
Yeah. So great. Yeah, you guys were close, right?
Well, yeah, we were close, and so we fought a lot.
For which character was most like you?
I guess Brandon was most like me, you know. The sort of like, you know, Jason made him more interesting than I was in high school, but I guess that's a character that was, I guess, that I could relate to the most.
Mm. You was the first episode, the pilot episode, was it meant to be a movie or was it just meant to be a 2-hour situation?
You know, I had only written movies up to that point, so that's all I knew how to do. So I wrote it as a 2-hour movie, and I think it ended up being closer to 90 minutes or something like that when it aired. When it was cut and everything. Yeah.
How'd they do that? I don't know how they did that.
How they what made it 90 minutes?
Yeah. Like, how did they air 90 minutes?
Back then. I think they did air it as 90 minutes back then. I guess they had nothing else to air.
So well, Fox was just starting out. So maybe they didn't.
Yeah. I know. Remember, we were always on the verge of cancellation that first season.
Wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
Is that the truth? Well, yes. It wasn't a hit, right?
It wasn't a hit. The episodes would get like dribbled in. Like 3 episodes. And we first got 12, then they ordered 4, then they ordered 3.
Oh my gosh.
And Aaron was always on the phone beating them up and trying to get them to order more. You know?
What would have happened if they didn't order more? We wouldn't all be sitting here talking to each other.
Crazy. I know. It's so scary to think about how things could have gone. And then you remember we came back in the summer, that first season, and it was it was like a good news, bad news thing. When Chuck Rosen and I went to meet the network, they're like, great news, you guys are doing so well. And we kind of made it through that first season, which was still 21 episodes. It's a lot, right?
Yeah.
And then we're thinking that we're going to take this break. I'm not sure you even knew this, but they told us in like April or May that, you know, just as we finished production, that we were going to get renewed. They want us to come back in the summer, which meant that we couldn't take a break.
Mm-hmm. So that was second season was summer?
Summer. Wow. The beach club.
Oh my gosh, already?
Yeah, we started filming like immediately. I think it aired in July. So we were like filming in May. We never really stopped.
No hiatus.
Barely. No hiatus for the writers.
Yeah, you guys didn't stop.
But Chuck Rosen was going on vacation with his family to Hawaii. And the only way to keep going was I had to go on vacation with him and his family to Hawaii.
This is so good. How was that trip? I want to know all about
it. The Four Seasons on Maui. I'm like, I'd never been there. And I was there with Chuck and his family and his little kids. And we were basically sitting by the pool drinking and figuring out the next season of 90210.
That's hilarious.
That's a perfect way to figure it out, I think.
It's true. It's a crazy memory. No, we had fun. Actually, we did.
I wanted to know, because we have memories of how it went down, the story of the casting of Luke.
Oh,
yeah. I don't remember it being that complicated. You know, we felt like we didn't have this sort of bad boy character was not in the pilot. And so we kind of, as we got together as a writing staff, we kind of thought we need character. And I don't know if it was a network idea or where it came from or if it was, Aaron's idea. But so we developed the character of Dylan. And then I don't remember reading anybody except for Luke. I just remember Luke coming in and thinking like, oh my God, he's perfect. And he was paving parking lots at the time. And then like the next day he was like on set basically.
And is that what you heard? First season, we feel like he's not in it that much. Was he only cast like 7 out of, or how did that go?
He probably was. But he was in it. He had the love affair. Right. He had an affair with Brenda. And in that first episode that he was in, he and Brandon were surfing. And I remember Luke a bunch in the first season. But he probably was in 7 out of 13, basically. You know, okay. he wasn't meant to be in all of them because it was like a new character. We were going to see how it shook out. But he had some good episodes that first season. Mm-hmm.
Are you like me? Like you don't like to watch your work back? Have you watched?
Well, I haven't watched Spring Dance, but I've seen. I saw Slumber Party recently, which I think is so good. There's two episodes I saw actually in both of them. You're both in both of them. Slumber Party and the Perfect Mom episode. I don't know why I went back to see it, and it's like, have you seen that one lately?
We did. We watched that.
It's good, isn't it?
Really good.
I mean, like I watched it and I was like, wow, it was better than I even like remembered it being.
It stands the test of time. I love it.
And the woman that plays your mom is like fantastic.
I know. She's so great. She lives somewhere else now and she's a minister.
I Googled her and I found that out like really just like about a month ago. I watched it. I just saw that 90210 was on 90210. The original series is on Hulu. So once I saw it and I was like, I just randomly clicked on that episode to watch it. I thought I was going to watch it for 5 minutes. And I just like watched the whole thing.
You get sucked in, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We hadn't rewatched since we filmed it. Mm-hmm. So rewatching it now, it's so relevant, except for like the cell phones that are like huge bricks.
Right.
Other than that, the clothing's up to date. It's all back now.
Came around again. Yeah.
It's so fun though to watch it for the first time and we're kind of fanning out like we're watching it as fans, like somehow removing ourselves from it all.
I mean, I'm watching an episode like I wrote that episode and I'm watching it and I don't remember writing it. I don't remember the story. So I'm like kind of like getting surprised as I'm watching it. Like, you know, I don't remember. I literally could not remember the storyline. It's kind of all a surprise. Do you find that when you're watching them, like you don't even remember 100%. The story?
Yeah, definitely. I have a really bad memory. Tori has to fill me in on everything, but it's so good to watch it because it kind of like refreshes. It brings it all back a little bit.
Yeah. And you were there.
So I was there.
You were there.
Well, so how did Melrose Place come about that Fox was like, we want a spinoff? Or did you guys think of it come to that?
Wait, wasn't it the construction guy in the backyard? Wasn't it?
Right. Well, but
that's how it became. You know, Melrose Place, they wanted a spinoff. First, they wanted a college show. And I said, you guys, we can't do a college show because these characters are going to go to college. And they didn't really think about that. They didn't realize that the cast of 90210 in order for the show to evolve was going to like leave high school. And I think when they, you know, but you know that we were in high school for two seasons, junior year, two seasons, two and a half, basically. And I had lived in a building like that. So I had this idea for this show and we kind of shoehorned it in. It wasn't, you know, it was sort of like a, it wasn't the most organic spinoff, but we kind of found a way to kind of incorporate, you remember Jake, and he was the handyman at your mom's wedding. Was that what it was? And you had an affair with him. That story would not fly today. It was basically statutory rape.
He was a little older.
He was a little older. Yeah, you were very precocious. Kelly was very precocious.
So many of the stories wouldn't work now. I mean, but right. I find on our show that there aren't a lot of storylines where I say to myself, I don't think that would fly today. There are a few moments we've had so far in the first season where, you know, things are so different now. And I haven't found myself thinking that very often.
Yeah. But
that was one of them.
That was one of them for sure. Yeah. I look back, I'm like, wow. Even nobody like said a word at that time.
Nope.
Yeah.
And Brenda was notoriously always going for older men in the first episode.
We feel like every episode.
In the pilot, she had an affair with a college kid or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, the creepy college guy. Yeah. He was so creepy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
she came home crying.
you have always, your shows are always, like I said before, very beautiful to the eye. And a big part of that's fashion, right? Like, I know that you said that that wasn't something that you were really concerned about in the beginning, but then you realized.
Well, Aaron was always very concerned about fashion. Your dad was always very in wardrobe and everything like that, always. And I never thought of 90210 as like, I mean, you think about Dynasty, that's such a fashion show. But 90210 to me, I just thought like, who cares what everybody's wearing? But, and Melrose Place, but Aaron would always have like wardrobe come into the office and he'd look at everything. And first I thought, well, how does he even know? But he had an eye, he knew. He had a real sense of like what people were wearing, what the characters were wearing, and also how important wardrobe would be. Wardrobe and hair and makeup was something I really didn't think about. So I definitely learned a lot about that from Aaron. And even on that episode, Perfect Mom, I remember showing friends that episode when it aired and they were just like looking at the clothes because it was a fashion show and they were really looking at the clothes. And I thought, but like, aren't you like paying attention to the story and the characters? But
my beautiful writing.
People do. I mean, people watch TV for the clothes and they watch it for the interior. They watch it for the set. I really feel like they do.
She used to come home with Polaroids. My dad always had Polaroids in his briefcase.
Yeah.
In from his office. And he'd be like,
what do you think
of this skirt? Yeah. And it was always in like the hairdo. I think I want to change it. He would ask my opinion, but he had the opinions as well. And it was, my friends and I would laugh. They'd be like, your dad's into that. I'm like, yeah, who knew?
Well, he knew. he knew it was all part of like, look, that's part of, in a real old school way, like, that's part of making movies, you know, old Hollywood. Like you look at all the hair and makeup and wardrobe tests and everything like that. They always would do those. I saw how important it became, especially on our shows, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It became a huge part of your shows. I mean, Sex and the City was just like, that was the show for fashion to watch. Yeah. And now Emily in Paris, just the same.
Well,
you're still working with Pat, right?
Yeah, I work with Pat Field. So that's that's a big part of why that happens because of her. She's just a genius. And she just goes, you know, and she goes out there and I feel like she entered, like the clothes become entertaining and people watch for them. And, when I was doing Sex and the City with her at the beginning, I would sort of get annoyed. Like, you know, we can't hear the dialogue because the clothes are so loud. People aren't gonna, it's like, you can't like, who's going to like listen to what they're saying? They're just staring like kind of basically in shock at what some of these characters are wearing. but I know that the audience loves it. And I give her a lot of rope and I trust her. And some, I realize I look at stuff and I'm like, it's crazy, but it's fun, you know? And it's like, you know, we're not doing a documentary.
So. Right. Yeah. I was curious, you know, have you ever gone to the darker side? Have you ever wanted to explore like creating something not quite so colorful and fantasy?
I don't know. I mean,
Like a gritty prison show?
I've done very glossy shows. I've always done pretty glossy shows. I mean, I actually like, I don't know. I think if the material was right, if I could really connect to it. You know, I actually love science fiction. I love watching science fiction, but you know,
really?
I do, but I think they could have fashion in the future also. Or on
what about horror? Do you like
or
horror?
In space. I don't like horror. No. Do you?
She loves it.
I can't watch it. I just can't. It disturbs me too much.
You have nightmares.
Yeah.
Well, because you know, like as actors, like you get tired of just doing drama and you want to go try comedy and then you want to go do a Western, like, you know, you want to try to diversify.
I would like to, I you know, it's not over yet. So it'd be fun to try to do different things for sure. You know, it's really just, for me, it's about what I can write and really connect to as a writer and that I can do it justice. But yeah, I think it'd be cool to do with, I love thrillers. I don't love horror, but I love thrillers, you know, mysteries, that sort of stuff.
Right.
Can we go back to Sex and the City?
Sure. Yeah.
Such a fan. So I have to ask you, the characters on Sex and the City, who would you liken Kelly and Donna to?
Sex
and the City, the characters.
Okay. I have to say, and I know this is like not an, you know, maybe not like the answer you'd want, but I just think I think Kelly and Donna are so different. I think they're so their own people. I don't think of them in comparison to other characters. You know what I mean? Like, I can't, I just think they're Kelly and Donna. I do. I don't, I think that, like, you know, I think you're just both Samantha. How's that?
Did you want to be Samantha?
No, that's you.
Oh. I know. And I'm not like, I'm not like,
you're not.
No. In real life, maybe Kelly was.
I feel like, The great thing is, I feel like every woman and man has a side of every character on Sex and the City.
Yeah, exactly.
We all have a little bit of that.
Totally.
There's always a little Miranda, little Charlotte, little Carrie.
Yeah, exactly. You're not, no one's everything.
Little Samantha.
Exactly one of
once
those.
Once in a while.
Exactly one of those.
Yeah.
Yes. No one's exactly one of those people. Totally. Totally.
Who would you be, though, from Sex and the City?
I'd probably be
Mr.
closest
Big.
To Carrie.
You'd have to be Mr. Big.
Mr. Big, no, I wouldn't, I don't know. Mr. Big was a little like, I'm not like that emotionally distant. He's pretty emotional, you know, emotionally cut off. I'd probably be Carrie. I mean, she's a writer. Mm-hmm. She's writing about stuff. I think she's got a great sense of humor. I mean, you know, I think I would just most identify with her only because she's like the writer character of the group. Mm-hmm.
You film Emily in Paris,
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, that must have been nice.
And we start filming. It was great. I mean, we go back May 3rd. We start filming the second season.
Are you going back to Paris?
We start in the south of France. And then I know, you know, we got to do it. It's where she's going.
If you ever need some cameos, we're available.
Or I'll hold your script if you'd like me to.
I mean, it's really just
get your glasses so you can see the sides.
Yeah.
Just come on over and visit anytime.
Or we could do that. Anytime. We could do our podcast from there.
There you go.
BTS, we could do behind the scenes for you.
That's right. I love that. Oh my God. Lily Collins was on the reboot of 90210. That was her first job.
What? Oh my God. I didn't remember that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wait, so the one with the young people? the one with the kids?
Yes. The new young people. The new young people. Yes.
The one with the young people. Yeah. What were you? You were young when you started 90210.
But when they rebooted it, I wasn't young anymore.
They got young again. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that Lily Collins.
Yeah, she'd be a good guest for you guys. Talk about that.
When they did the reboot of 90210, did they come to you?
No. Not at all. Because, you know, it was just owned by them. And I think they didn't want to have to pay me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They just went off and did it.
Yeah, we have issues with that one, even though Jen starred in it.
I kind of read about it in Variety.
Like all of, oh my gosh.
Yes.
The fact that they killed your mother off, like that's the thing that I didn't like. Because I was like, that's an original 90210 character.
They shouldn't mess with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. I read about it in Variety while I was doing a show for the CW.
Oh my God.
Were you like, what the?
What? Were you like,
yeah.
Yes, I think we all were. I think we all were, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
And then the crazy movies they did on the CW. No, no, on Lifetime.
Lifetime.
But the real life of the...
Did you like the person that played you?
I thought, you know what? I looked at it. First, I was appalled, and then I just laughed. I mean, you had to laugh, right?
You had to laugh at that.
Yeah. You just had to laugh.
The only one that looked... the girl that played me looked just like me. Like, I feel like I could hire her as my double for something. She was good.
Yeah. It captured a little bit of the beginning. It did.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, yeah, it did. It captured a little bit of the beginning. I don't know where they got it all from, but it did sort of like.
Yeah. I heard that they just compiled that from all of our interviews or books that we had written. Like Jason wrote a book. I wrote a book. You've written books. So they took a lot of that material and just pasted it all together. And I just don't.
Well, they could have come to us and asked us how the stories went because they went a little bit differently.
Could have fact checked a little bit.
Right. Right.
That would have been nice. You know what? I'm curious because your shows are so stylized. I'm going to keep saying that. I've said it like 8 times. Uh-huh. But is that like when you're writing, when you're Darren sitting down to write something, is that how you see the world? Like sort of through those beautiful lenses, you know?
I keep thinking I'm writing something realistic and then people come and tell me it's stylized.
So it is. That's how you see the world.
Sort of. I guess so. To a degree. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's such a fun way to see the world, though.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like emotionally, I think the characters have a lot of emotional truth to them. You know, and that's the important thing. And I think when you have a lot of characters that are just basically, all these shows are, in a way, characters in a room talking to each other. So it's basically like, the settings become visually have to say, pull you in because ultimately the show is just about people talking, all of them, right, and personal drama. So,
I mean, that's the thing. People always say, that's the number one question that I've always been asked on interviews, and I'm sure you too, Tor, is why do you think it struck such a chord with people? Why do you think people loved Beverly Hills 90210 so much, and why is it standing the test of time? And that's the answer. Like, it was this fantastic, amazing world that no one had ever seen before, Beverly Hills and that lifestyle. But it was just, it's so much more about the characters and the integration of the characters and like the relatability.
Yeah. It was all about the characters. It wasn't as people can say, oh, it's superficial and shallow, but it really wasn't because the characters had depth to them. And they were relatable. I mean, it's all, and it was like the window dress is great, but that's not what the show was.
That only takes you so far.
Yeah, it only takes you so far. Exactly. Because that anybody can do that show. Anybody can shoot a show that looks great, but it's really all about the cast, the characters, the emotion, and it all has to click, you know, the writing and the cast.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get so lucky for it all to come together. It's kind of amazing when it does. Like on our show, it's like you think all the little things that might not have happened if you didn't have exactly the cast that we had, you know, like it might not have worked. You know, it all has to come together.
You know, it's kind of making me get a little misty-eyed.
Yeah.
Because I thought that because you directed this episode, Spring Dance, and the very end when the whole gang starts dancing on the dance floor, it stirred something in me that I couldn't deny. You know, it was like, oh, those people in that moment and just.
Yeah. And you guys, you did sort of have that like real camaraderie with each other and that real, that real connection. And it came through, you know, it was like you really were able to kind of like get it on the screen, that feeling of what it's like to sort of like have these best friends in high school together. Cause you sort of also felt that way about each other.
Yeah.
At the time. You know,
still do.
Yeah, they call it lightning in a bottle, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's just you do have to get lucky. You can work so hard, but you also gotta get lucky. I remember that shot.
It was like a big pull back.
Yeah, it was a big crane shot. Because for me, it was so exciting. You know, it was like I was working with a crane that was like, you know, exciting.
The big guns came out. Yeah, that's funny.
Right. Yeah.
The toys, all the toys.
Right.
Darren, do you have a favorite episode of Night of our original? Yeah.
Oh God.
That's a hard question.
I love Donna Graduates.
Donna Martin Graduates?
Who knew? Oh my gosh.
You know, because I was there so much in the first few years, those are the ones that are most top of my mind. That's when I was there all the time. I love Spring Dance. I really do. Maybe because I directed, it was the first thing I directed, but I just I love the episode. I love all the emotion in it. I love I love the comedy. I remember you, Tori, wearing that crazy hoop skirt and coming out of the limo, how funny you were and trying to sit down. I don't know. Just all these things that were in it, we're
so excited to have that. Thank
fun
you.
For me. Yeah, that was fun. And just had emotion. And it was, I think it's a great description. It was like a little John Hughes movie.
Mm-hmm. You
know? And it kind of captured the ensemble so well.
I thought Ian was so good in this episode.
He was so good. Yes, I
that
remember.
That scene with him and Brandon in the little kitchen hallway and the lighting on them. Oh my God, it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
But his emotions were so great. You directed him so beautifully.
Thank you. Thank you. I thought Ian was great in the reboot. He looks amazing.
Doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, he does.
He looks fantastic. He's so built. Wow.
He's a handsome, handsome devil.
Yeah.
Everyone's Brian, held together pretty good. Yeah. Brian looked stunning.
Brian looks amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's really true. Everybody looks so good.
We're doing our best to make you proud, Darren.
We gotta
keep it up for you.
You do. And for all the fans out there that still watch the show and see you and they're like, wow, it still looks like you from high school. You know?
We've got a few more years in us.
Yeah, for sure. A lot more than a few.
I don't know. We both sit further back.
Yeah, right.
You are so fun to talk to.
Oh, it's great to see you guys.
Oh my gosh, it'd be great to see you in person one day.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Oh
we'll gosh. Do it. Let's do it in LA. Let's find each other. I'm here. I go back to France in a week and a half to do this next season of Emily in Paris. So then I'm there.
How long are you there for? How long?
Till the end of July. And right now they have they have a lockdown, which is a little weird. Mm. They're not doing so well, but
you do the quarantine 2 weeks then when you get there?
What? Well, 1 week.
1 week. Okay.
1 week. And then it doesn't affect our filming. Yeah, we're able to film, but you know, we filmed younger, the series I've been doing for a while in New York, the last season just finished. And we filmed during the pandemic, and you know, we have to wear masks on set the whole time. I don't know if you guys have worked at all during this period, but it's like you have to wear masks on the set, and it's just, you know, it's not fun, but at least it's it's worth doing, but it's not fun.
To still it work, does. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So how many episodes have you done of the podcast now?
This is our Spring Dance, so it's episode 21 that we're on. One more.
Oh, okay.
Every episode we've done since the beginning of the show.
It's fun for us. We're just reliving it. It's like, it's such a gift to be able to go back and watch all of this.
So you've seen them now from 1 to 20. So what's your favorite show between 1 and now that you've seen the first season, do you have favorites? Or ones that are surprising that you're like, I didn't realize that was so good, or I don't realize that was so bad.
That happened. It happened. Yep. That was, yes. There was an episode that we found out that the network threw out weekend before everything started
the
filming.
The baseball one. Spring baseball training.
One. Oh, spring training. When did that air?
We
didn't
heard
it?
That, yeah, it was like one or two episodes ago. So 19 or 20.
Chuck Rosen wrote that episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they told us that it was, we don't know if this is true, but we heard that this was an episode that they threw out the script about Brandon meeting a veteran and having a whole thing with a vet. And then they had to come up with something over the weekend. And this is what they came up with, the baseball one.
Yeah. It was a fun episode.
It wasn't our favorite, but
it felt different.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a different show a little bit.
Did it feel like it was written over the weekend, basically?
A little bit.
It was a little Bad News Bears. It didn't feel like 90210 as much.
Wait, so which one from the first season so far, Tori, is your favorite?
Oh my gosh. It's the iconic ones. It's Sleepover Party. Is that what it's called?
Slumber Party.
And Spring Dance, for sure.
I always say my favorite was the pilot because
you do.
I love that.
Oh my God. I loved everything about the pilot, the way it looked and the way it was shot, and just it blew my mind. That I also said looked like a John Hughes movie. Like, it was just perfect.
It was shot like a movie. And Tim Hunter, who was a pretty big movie director at the time, directed that. And no, I thought the pilot, when I saw it, I was like, this is amazing. This was so good. And I and the network was like, yeah, we'll see. And I'm like, don't you guys get it? But they did eventually, because I thought the pilot was like, you did. I thought it was like really strong.
Yeah.
And like, just, we hadn't seen it before.
Not on TV. No. And then, but now I like the pilot, and I think this one is a close second.
Oh, Spring great. Dance. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Good job. Good job.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for spending time with us.
Oh, so good to see you guys.
Thank you for doing this.
And really great to see you.
Let me reiterate for all those people out there that they're listening to it, they're not watching it on Zoom, how gorgeous you guys look.
Oh.
You look amazing.
You're so
do you.
Thanks.
Oh my gosh.
COVID's been good to us, I guess. Yeah.
You be safe over there.
All right, you too. All right.
Okay.
Have fun.
Great talking
Big
to you guys.
Love to you.
All right. And it was we so will see you soon. Okay. Mwah. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I was super nervous.
It's like talking to your creator, like the man that made you.
Very stressful.
You know what? It's so funny talking to him. I still revert it back in my head. I was like, oh, be careful what you say. Like, I don't know. It's the creator. I'm just like,
he's the
producer's daughter. He was forced to cast. Like, I still felt that way. And like, I wanted to say something, but I couldn't. And I'm just like, God, all these years I've wondered, was he like, oh, I have to cast her. Like, I'm still wondering.
I have to cast her.
I don't think he said that. That's how I feel. Like, you know,
you have to let go of that feeling, lady.
I got to get, what is it? They say cord cutting.
Okay. We need to extract
will you
it
come
from
with me?
You. Yeah. We need to go to like a healer in
like an
Bali or something.
Okay.
Let's go. Sounds like a good episode. What a genuine, kind, down to earth human being with so much success.
So humble.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to be humble. He's a genius, but he is.
But he was great. And so it's so great to have his perspective too, because we were so young and green at that moment, and we didn't know what was happening. And we were just on the set doing the work, and he was back there, you know, with the strings, the puppeteer. He was making it all up. What a mind. I love it.
It's funny when he said that he was excited for the crane, because that was like
a big
moment
deal
for him.
Yeah. No, yeah, for sure. His first episode directing. I wonder, I didn't ask him, but I wanted to ask him if he had gone on to direct more shows or direct on his other shows. I wanted to know, but I didn't have time.
Well, when we join him in Paris, we'll ask him.
Oh, right. No. Yes. He's booking the tickets, right?
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's happening.
I feel like he gave us a little insight as to how they're starting production for Emily in Paris season 2. I don't even think that info is out yet. So
people will be excited.
Season 3 or season 2?
2.
Season 2.
Mm-hmm. But that's it for today. That's it for this episode, you guys. So we should wrap it up, I say.
Speaking of wrapping it up, wrap party.
Oh, yeah, wrap. Good one. Nice tie, sis. I'll see how you did that. Our big wrap party's coming up in 2 weeks. What's the date on that tour?
That'll be on April 26th at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can join us for our live wrap party.
Yeah, yep. Come hang out. We have to really try to make it like a wrap party. I don't know how we're going to pull that off, but we gotta brainstorm.
You can get your tickets on locationlive.com/90210.
Well, I'll just make it like our original wrap party, and I'll get drunk and puke, and you can hold my hair.
Get wasted and throw up in a garbage can somewhere. Perfect. And then it'll be like a wrap party. There you go.
You have to eat spaghetti beforehand.
Classy. We're classy gals. All right, you guys, thanks so much for joining us this week. Next week coming up is the season finale of season 1, which is very exciting. Episode 22, Home Again. So everybody watch
it's been a whole season.
Yeah, I love it. It's been so much fun, but I'll save that for next week.
Okay, see you next week, you guys. Love you.
Mwah, mwah, mwah.